Good afternoon, church. It's been a while since I've been to the Central. In fact, I had a few little problems getting here because I haven't been to this venue before. But my name is OJ and I am from the Four Rivers Church of Christ up in Harrow via West London. And those of you who have met me before or have come to the Central to preach before, there is one significant difference.
Oh.
Oh yes, I can see you now. Oh yes, oh it's Fun Lola over there. Oh, is that, it was you singing. Oh right, in Swahili. Oh wow, I know who everyone is now. Fantastic. Okay, great. Well, it's good to see you all, guys. And I bring you greetings from the Four Rivers. I also bring you greetings from Mrs. OJ, Lisa, and little OJ, stroke JJ. They couldn't be here today. Oh, we've got at the moment, what's happening is that we're having a very busy week, and then lots of parties at the weekend. That's what's happening. Yesterday we had a summer fete, and then we had a 50th birthday party, and then we had an 18th birthday party. Today, church in the Four Rivers in the morning. For me, church in the Central in the afternoon, and then a celebration of England's victory later on. Is there any Italians here today? It's interesting because Switzerland, it's one of the languages that you speak in Switzerland. It's Swiss church, I thought maybe some Italians. But yes, we have a football party afterwards, and one of my friends that I'm reaching out to, I've invited along, and he texted me during the final song. So I quickly had to reply before I came up here. Well, it's good. Talking about football, I've got to get it off my chest. Last year we had a football tournament in the church, and I was playing for the West. And the average age of the players in the West is about David Kaner's age, okay? Now we know that his age. Okay? Some of the teams that we were playing, the average age was 18. Anyway, I think we were the whipping boys of the church. We were going around and everyone's thrashing us because after 20 minutes, we just can't play anymore, okay? And then I went to play against a certain team, and I saw a brother there, and I was shocked, because I remember when this brother was a young Christian. I remember him coming over to the West, and I remember encouraging him, building him up. I remember sometimes seeing him in the fellowship. He doesn't know anyone, and I thought, let me encourage him and build him up, and let me, you know, you've got to look after the young Christians. And then at my moment of need, when I was sitting there, I was there on the pitch, being afraid of getting thrashed, who did I see playing for the opposition? Michael Zocon. And I said, Michael, remember me. Remember your roots. Look at my gray hair. I've seen you in the West, I've seen you in the Central, I've seen you. And now, how did you find yourself to the East? What happened? Needless to say, Michael had no mercy at all in the way he played. However, I did play a little joke on him during one of the corners, which he fully... Did you remember that? There's a corner, and I said, Michael, I think someone is trying to steal your bag. And Michael goes, oh, Sanders, he's trying to steal my bag. Fortunately, the corner happened and Michael didn't get the ball. Amen. I confess to the referee and the rest is history. Okay. 1 Samuel 17. It's off my chest now. All is forgiven, Michael. That's right, you're a great football player, but please don't play against us again. 1 Samuel 17. Okay. So those of you may be familiar with the story of David and Goliath. Okay? It's an interesting story because even if you don't have much of a Christian background, you may have heard of this story. Okay? Even if you don't know the Bible that well, you may have heard of this story. What I'm going to do today, we're going to do the story and the chapter backwards. There you go. Because I'm like that. Okay. Just to make it a little bit interesting. We see what happens at the end, and we see how they get there. You know, have you ever watched, you've watched these films before, where you start watching the film, and you see an old person chatting to another old person in a rocking chair, and they start talking about their life, and then the film starts from when they were both 10. And then you sort of go forward, and then you see how they got to where they are. This is what the that's the sermon, a bit like that. Okay, so we are at 1 Samuel 17. And those of you who don't know me, I've got a reputation for speaking for a long time. So I did check with David what time the booking is for, and I promise to try and keep within that time. Okay, so that's why whenever I go to, I see a clock, and I focus on it, but there's none, so I've got my mobile phone here, which is on silent, and I'll be able to tell what the time is, because I don't have a watch. Anyway, 1 Samuel 17, we're there. Okay, let's read from verse 48. And if you're looking for a title, hey, why not call it David and Goliath? Hey, I'll tell you the points as we go along. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. With a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sha'arim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. Now it's interesting, those of you who are familiar with this story will be familiar with the question, what is your Goliath? What is the Goliath for you? Okay? The tallest man that ever lived against a teenage boy. So there's a height differential. He's taller than, have you ever heard of Robert Wadlow? I think he was a guy from the earlier part of the last century, and he was about 8 foot tall or something like that. Goliath was about a foot taller. So, you know, and maybe I don't know how much wider he was, but he's huge. And often you get asked the question, when you look studying David and Goliath, you see, like, there's you, and there's one particular challenge that you have in life, and it seems like a Goliath. It's a big challenge. And so what is the Goliath for you? But I'm asking the same question, but maybe we want to review how we view the whole concept of Goliath and a big challenge in our lives. You see, you may think, okay, Goliath for me is this big exam that I've got coming up. Goliath for me may be this relationship challenge that I've got. Goliath for me may be this problem I have at work. Goliath for me may be a financial challenge. Many, many things. It may be sin. Impurity, impure thoughts, or something like that, or some sort of addiction even. And those are the things often we associate with a Goliath. We will read later that the Goliath was, you know, taunting the Israelite people, and many of the Israelites were just watching and doing nothing. They were just like, almost like waiting for someone else, David, to come along and sort their problem out. But one thing I want us to consider is whether this Goliath is actually so big that it's actually gone off our radar. It's so big, we don't even bother with it anymore. There's the visible Goliaths, like the ones I just mentioned, and the ones that it's just not even on the agenda anymore. We're not even trying to deal with it anymore. What are some of those things? See, they seem actually little. Maybe you've got a bad temper. And you think, well, that's just a part of who I am. I've always had a bad temper since I was 10. It's a part of it's part of my DNA. But I'm going to grow in my prayer life. I'm going to grow in my Bible reading. I'm going to do well in my studies. And I'm going to build a friendship with that person. And I'm going to earn more money. And I'm going to be great that way. But my bad temper can't change that. That could be a Goliath. In fact, you stop praying about your bad temper because you've accepted it so much. What about things like punctuality? I know people I've known them for 20 years and they struggle with punctuality. Oh, they're really nice and friendly. And they know the Bible very well. And they do lots of things in church and they're very busy and they serve. All the things that we may on the surface. But this punctuality thing, you think it's a little like this, but it's Goliath! They don't even pray about it anymore because it's just who they are. What about that? Now, not necessarily having a go at anyone who's late today, because everyone has one-offs, but I'm talking, if it's a regular thing for you, maybe that's something that is off your radar. You're dealing with your studies and you're dealing with all the other Goliaths that I talked about, but this particular issue you've given up on. You think, that's my personality, Afro-Caribbean time, that's the way it is, cultural, it's cultural, that's it, you know. Tidiness. Maybe you're untidy. You know? And as I say, outside the house, you're the most wonderful person. And everyone thinks you're absolutely wonderful. In fact, you look good. You look quite, you know, together. And, you know, you're groomed and everything. In the house, though, everything is strewn all over the floor. Everywhere. Things are dirty. Dishes. Things are growing in the fridge. And you think, that's just my personality. That could be a Goliath that you've given up on. Moodiness. What do you like before 9 o'clock in the morning? What do you like? Moody. Maybe you're moody. And you're always grumpy and everything like that. But come through the church door. Oh, there's a Christian. Moodiness. Impatience. Maybe impatient, you know. Keep waiting for anything longer than 7 seconds, and man, you are getting angry. Or, you know, conversations. Maybe you find conversations, being giving in conversations. Have you ever done that before? You try to reach out to someone or have a conversation with someone. One word answers back. Monosyllabic. So what do you do for a living? Work. Okay. So, how'd you get here? Train. Okay. What are you studying? Maths. You know, okay, right, temptation is just to walk off and leave them, you know, but you may have to work a bit harder. And maybe that's a thing socially you find challenging. These are all things that, you know what, often, if any of those things is a challenge for you, it's possible that it's off the radar. You didn't pray about it this morning because you've just It's just, you've prayed about the other things, the supposedly big things. And I think Goliaths often can be things that are so big, we think they're small, and we've written them off. But you know, the interesting thing is, think about it. What of, you know the scripture in the Bible, it talks about letting our light shine among men, they'll see our good deeds, and glorify God in heaven. Think about people around you. Think about your family members. Think about your work colleagues. Think about maybe, you know, maybe you've connected recently with an old friend on Facebook from school or something like that. What do you think is the thing that's going to impact them the most? Think about it. Think about it. If Daniel came up to me this week and he says, OJ, you know what? This week I've prayed more. And I just feel closer to God, and been sharing my faith, and you know, and I've just been serving more in the church, etc. And hey, my song leading, boy, it's really sharp nowadays. I think great. That's great. I'm encouraged by that. But you know what would encourage me even more? If you send it to me, OJ, you know what? I've had this bad temper for 25 years, and I found it really, really difficult, but you know what? I haven't had a fit of rage for a good 6 months now. It's really changed. That would inspire me more. Because the character things, it's the character things that will really, really help make a difference in our lives. And your old school friends and your family members and the people who know you from back in the day, when they see the character things change, they say, wow, what's happening in your church? What's happening in your life? You are different. Not just more religious. So let's think about what are the real Goliaths. You know, things I want you to talk about is the real issues. That's what we just talked about. We talked about real decisions, real victories, real relationships. We just talked about real issues, character changes. So think about what those Goliaths may be for you. Think about the things that you may have written off, that you don't even pray about anymore, that are so big. But that's a Goliath. But with the power of God, but even that can be changed. Real decisions. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept moving closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and the spear and the javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, the Lord Almighty, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered there will know that it is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." This, at this point, you may sort of understand why I'm doing it backwards. Because you've already seen what David said fulfilled. He said, "This is what I'm going to do for God." And we know in the previous passage that we read, because we're doing it backwards, that he said it and he did it. And it's interesting that sometimes we find it difficult to make those type of decisions. This is what I'm going to do for God. He announced God's power. David said what he was going to do with God's power. Think about, what are you going to do? for God? Are you afraid to commit yourself to doing God's work? Why are we sometimes afraid to make that type of commitment? This is what I'm going to do for God. Fear of failure. The Bible does say, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, the Bible also says, if you seek me, Jeremiah 29, and the other one was Matthew 7:7. The Bible also says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Now, if anybody is skeptical about Christianity, or skeptical about, you know, seeking God, this is the perfect opportunity to prove those Christians wrong. It's perfect. It says, ask and it will, not may, not probably, it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This is perfect. Oh, great. Great. All I have to do is seek, 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 and I won't find, and then I can just say, you were wrong. And this other bit about giving your own heart, all I have to do is say, I gave my own heart, and it doesn't work, and leave me alone now. Perfect chance. Now, there is a little problem with that. There's a little problem is, I've been a Christian 20 odd years, and I haven't seen it happen yet. Okay? I haven't seen it happen where someone actually seeks God with their whole heart, and throws everything at seeking God, and they don't find him. I haven't seen that yet. So that's a challenge you could have if you are skeptical. Okay? And the reason why I haven't seen it is because the Bible makes the promise, and God keeps his promises. Okay? And yet, one of the reasons why we are fearful is because we're reliant upon ourselves. We're not thinking about God. We're not thinking about God's power. What can I do? These are the situations where I failed before in the past. I'm going to fail. And yes, you will fail. But God won't fail. It's not about you. It is about God. Some people think about, oh, I don't want to say something. You know, have you ever heard the phrase, I'm sure you all, jinx. Oh, I don't want to say anything, you know. You know, when we're on the football pitch playing against the East, I don't want to say we're going to win because we could get jinxed. Michael could score a hat-trick. I don't think he did. I know, I don't think. I marked you, didn't I? I marked you out of the game. You didn't score at all, did you? Good. Okay. Yes. You see, we rely often on ourselves. But it's God who makes the difference. And yeah, we fear failure. But what would be, if you... Before a group of Christians, if I made a promise, say, listen guys, you know what? I'm going to come here every month for the next 12 months. I'm going to make that decision. If I made that decision. And then 3 months down the line, something happens. Family emergency happens. And I can't come. What's wrong? I made the decision. It was the heart behind the decision. Everyone, every single person would understand, I've got a family emergency. Did it mean that I was wrong to make that decision? See, the problem with making decisions publicly is accountability. Accountability. If you make the decision, you know, have you ever, you know, tried to, you know, somebody invites you to something or you get invited to something or something and you don't really want, you want to give yourself the flexibility of not going? So I said, I'll let you know. Or, do you know what I mean? You want to give yourself room to maneuver. So you won't say, I will be there. I'll let you know. We'll see. You know, and all that sort of stuff, which is not sinful in and of itself. But sometimes we can do that within our spiritual lives. Ooh, I don't really, I'll study the Bible, but let's see how it goes. I'll start coming, you know, and let's just see, you know, let's just see if the singing's good, you know, let's just check, you know, what the brothers and sisters are like, and see if I get on with people first, and let me just test the waters, you know. It's not about entertainment, you know, it's about seeking a relationship with God. Make a decision, you know, make a decision. either to seek God with all your heart. Make that decision. Verbalize it. Say it. I am going to seek God with all my heart. I am going to come to all the meetings. I am going to live like a disciple. I am going to really throw the kitchen sink at this seeking God stuff. I'm really going to have a go and see what God shows you. Christianity is not the sort of thing that you can sort of, it's not like, this is Endell Street, it's not Shaftesbury Avenue, okay? Where you go to the theatre, let's test out what the shows are like, and if I like it, I like it, if I don't, I don't, type of thing. No, this is the kingdom of God, and we've got to give our hearts, we've got to make those decisions. Tell someone, hey listen, I'm going to really, really give my heart. Hey, things will come up. Things will come up. We all have to live in a real world, and we all have to live real lives. We all have families. Some of us have children. Some of us have grandparents, you know, great-grandparents. My mum is 77, and she's got vascular dementia, and she's got short-term memory loss is a part of it, and she's got glaucoma, and me and my brother now have to basically do shifts, sort of looking after her, type of thing. I didn't know that was going to happen a year ago, you know. However, I still do all the same responsibilities I have in church. I preach less because of the amount of time it takes to prepare new sermons. So that's why you probably haven't seen me for a while. But I haven't missed any church services. I haven't missed any, you know, helping the poor events or family group or midweeks or anything like that. We've worked things out, you know, because these things happen in life. These things will happen. You know, when you made a commitment to be a disciple, it didn't say, oh, only be a disciple if you never have any young children, if you never have any sick parents, if you never get ill yourself, if you don't have any exams, if then you can be a committed disciple. No, God expected real life to happen to all of us. And we can make those decisions to put God first. And don't be afraid of things happening. But it's the decision. It's the decision that David made. And he followed through on the decision. God made him victorious. Real decisions. What can God do through you? What decisions do you need to make? Real decisions. Real victories. Real water. Okay. Verse 37. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy. And he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So we're going backwards again? Okay. So, David wants to fight Goliath. And he said, no, you're a boy, you're young, you can't do it, etc., etc., etc. And what does David say? "I've done it before. Here we are. Now, if this was 2012, right, he would have the video footage, wouldn't he? He'd say, "Oh, you think I can't do it? Look at my Facebook. Look at this. Look at my YouTube. Look at me. See that lion? You see who's killing that lion? That is me." And you see him killing the lion going, you know. That's me. Oh, wow. And they're looking, you know. But he just had to tell them the story, you know. Remember what God has already done. You know, every Christian here should have a story. Even if it's your conversion, you've got a story. A miracle of how God changed your life. It's a miracle. And you've got something to just, often sometimes Christians go, oh, you know what, if I can leave the studying the Bible to Phil and to David, and you know, they can do it, but me, oh no, 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 I don't know the Bible enough to do that. If you guys could do that, that would be great. But you've got a story. Just tell them how you became a Christian. What you learned, the miracles. That's a testimony. And David was saying, listen, you have doubt in me, but this is what God has done for in the past. And you know, the interesting thing you've got to think about, everyone, is if we do our best to live the life, best to obey God, do our best as Christians, then we will have experiences, more and more and more testimonies about what God has done. That will build your faith. You know, there's nothing more encouraging to me than the people that I've helped become Christians. God did the work. I just opened my mouth one day. You've seen Dwight come here a few times. I think he's preached. Maybe not here, but maybe at Dial House. Dwight Lawrence. And during a really, really discouraging time in my life, I was really down. Really, really down. But I forced myself one day on the train platform to invite him to church. It was not just a bad day, it was a bad period in my spiritual life. You know, lots of challenges happening. I invited him to church. But, he became a Christian. He's married. He's got beautiful children. We were on the father and son retreat the other day together. Not this weekend, but the one at the beginning of May. We're such good friends. And to sit down where you are and to hear him preach, I get emotional. You know? But because on that day, even though I was discouraged and I was down and I was weak perhaps, I still tried my best to be a disciple, I now can share with you. I now have a story to tell, which may move you. It may, you know, maybe you've had something the same, I don't know, but a story to tell. And that's the thing. You know, the more we try our best to obey God, the more we live the life, the more God gives us experiences. You know, the Bible does say, I pray that you be active in sharing your faith, so we'll have a full understanding of everything we have in Christ. Philemon 6, if you need the quote. But yes, David was able to refer back to victories that God had already used him for. Think about what God has done in your life. Think about what God could do in your life if you give your best. And those searching, think about the story that you can tell about the miracles and the situations that helped you come to know God. Yes, there has to be an element of stepping out on faith because you've got to start the ball rolling somehow. But that's what David did. There must have been a first time he killed the lion. There must have been a first time he killed the bear. There must have been a first time he stepped out to defend his sheep. Real victories. And then real relationships. Was that my alarm? Was it OJ time's nearly up? Was that... It is nearly up. We're still in 1 Samuel 17. Verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Let's stop there. An interesting question for you. The thing that stands out here for me with David is how he feels, steady now, guys, I'm using interesting words, gents, you know, like feelings and how you feel. Hold on, just in case, you know. Sisters, relax, you understand these words, you know. That's fine. So what will be done for this man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from you? He feels indignant that this man, regardless of how huge he is, it seems to be humiliating his people and his God that he loves so much. There's an emotional connection with God, and he feels indignant about those who try to humiliate, to diss God, lack of respect for God's people. There's a feeling there. We know what he goes on to do, but there's a feeling. And it's worth asking yourself, what is your emotional connection with God? Beyond perhaps what you're doing, because we can do things. I can do things without feeling. And on the surface, it looks like I'm righteous. It may even look like I'm loving. But maybe the emotional connection is not there. What does it mean to you if people are disrespecting your Lord and Savior? How does that feel to you? Does it mean I'm saying that you should go around bashing people over the head if they're an atheist? No. I'm just saying, how does it feel to you? What does that do? Now, can you imagine, whether you're married or single, a lot of us may have been in relationships, girlfriend and boyfriend, or whatever. Can you imagine that you're in a relationship with someone, and you're the person you're in a relationship with, they are building a really strong friendship with someone who hates you. And they seem to be getting closer and closer. And you think, okay, hold on a second, let me get this right. Okay, you seem to like this person that hates me. Okay, now, obviously we need to reach out to people wherever they are. Okay? But wouldn't that feel weird? Wouldn't that feel funny? Okay, you're supposed to love me, and the fact that this person hates me doesn't seem to do anything for you. Do you see what I mean? Now, get a little bit closer. Marriage. Can you imagine what life would be at home for me? You know, if some person really, really, really hates my wife, and I'm sorry, honey, I can't stay in tonight. I'm hanging out with, you know, this person who hates you. You know, how would my wife feel? Do you see what I mean? Yeah. All my clothes and everything would be outside. Yes. Right. Yeah. That's right. But do you see what I mean? How would that make us feel? And remember, Christianity essentially is about a relationship with God. We are made in God's image. So in many ways, building a relationship with God is very much like building a relationship with a person. You know? And so, you spend time with people who don't believe in God, who say disrespectful things. I'm not saying you should Bible bash them, but I'm asking you, how does that make you feel? And what will you do? You know, even sometimes, you know, we meet people who maybe used to belong to the church, and they may say negative things, you know, about people by name. And you think, well, as long as they're not saying it about me, we're still cool. Me and you are still cool. Oh, yeah, Daniel, yeah, he's a bit over the top, yeah. Yeah, that's fine, yeah, you know, it's okay. But, you know, as long as you're not saying it to me, that's fine. Me, I'd say, no, Daniel is my brother. I love my brother. He wouldn't say that. I'm sorry. You know, you can't really continue to talk about my brother like that. Because I couldn't actually therefore come to Daniel after that conversation, having said nothing, and then hug Daniel and say, yeah, Daniel, how's it going, mate? Knowing that someone dissed him and I said nothing. Do you see what I mean? David was indignant when he's, you know, and think about people, you know, people who don't believe, and how does that make you feel? What are you going to do about that? as I said, I've said it before, I don't mean having a go at them. I don't mean, you know, being abusive. I don't mean not speaking to them. I mean bringing it up. I mean connecting with how you feel about your family and God's people. You know, think about, you know, what means a lot to God. Can you imagine you're trying to build a relationship with someone? Maybe, you know, somebody you're interested in having a relationship with, etc., etc. What are some of the things that you would do? Maybe you can share. What are some of the things you would do? Or maybe brothers can share, you know, or men can share, what are the sort of things you would do? And ladies maybe can share, hey, what are the sort of things you'd like them to do? What are some of the things? You're trying to win someone over. You're trying to win someone over romantically or whatever. What are some of the things?
Listen.
Listen. Yeah, sometimes men, we try to fix, you know. Oh, interrupt. And yeah, but you can do this. Just listen. Great. Okay, be a good listener. Sisters are someone smiling there. Yeah, good. Okay. Okay. Any other things? Other things? Amanda. Sorry, serve them. Yes, absolutely, serve them. That's right, you know. I don't know, if you have them over to your house or whatever, with other people, Christians, okay? you know, serve them tea or serve them food or whatever, you know. Whatever, encourage them, help them in many different ways. Any other things? What other things would you do? Millie? Yeah, write nice cards. Think carefully about what you want to write and how you can encourage them, build them up, etc. Yeah, encouraging words, cards. Anything else? What sort of things would we do? Yes, that's right. They've got an important an interview or something like that, remembering that, birthday and everything like that, things that are important to them. There's a show on and a particular thing that they like, and etc. That's good. Is it four sisters for one brother so far? Brothers getting tips, yeah? Writing notes? Any others? Any other things we would do? Michael? Sorry? Yeah, that's right. You know, doing things that they like, you know, and, you know, that you may not like art, but you may take them to the Tate Modern or something like that, or, you know, encourage them, stuff like that. And it's interesting. And a relationship with God is, you know, similar. Think about, what does God love? God loves people. We need to love people. You know, God sent his son Jesus to die. You know, God loves children. God loves brothers and sisters. God loves being with his people. That's what people sometimes forget. God loves church. Tabernacled himself to come down to be with his people. Being a Christian would mean, and loving God would mean loving church, you know, etc., you know. And so, yeah, think about your connection with God. What do you love? The things that God loves. God loves the poor. God loves the weak. God loves the vulnerable. Think about the weak or the vulnerable. Are you building a friendship with someone who's weak or vulnerable? Someone who's special needs. I have a special needs ministry in West London, you know. And some people find it challenging building because, you know, we build friendships often with our peers and people that can relate to us. And sometimes we forget the people who cannot relate to us and maybe cannot relate to anyone. You know, God loves them. You love God, you love his friends, you love his people, you know? And think about the things that God loves. David had an emotional connection with his God and with God's people. Pray to have an emotional connection with God. Think about how you feel about when you sin or when you see people sinning against God. Don't confuse it with things that annoy you. Sometimes we challenge people on things because it annoys us, not because it's sinning against God. It irritates us. It's not about it irritating you, it's about people hurting God. Okay? So think about this in summary. Real issues. What is the real Goliath in your life? What is the thing that you've written off, that you've stopped, you don't even pray about, don't even deal with anymore, that would actually transform the people around you if they saw that massive character thing change? That could really help people come to know God, inspire your family and your work colleagues and your friends. Think about making decisions, real decisions, of what you are going to do for God or seek after God, and say it. Things may happen that make it difficult, but say it and make that decision, and God will bless that decision. Real victories. Think about what God has already done in your life. Even just bringing you here, bringing you to a relationship with God, and share that. Give your life over. Do your best to obey God and to seek after Him, and God will give you experiences and therefore testimonies that you can share that will help other people come to know God. Think about your emotional connection with God. How do you feel about your relationship with God? How do you feel about people who don't like God or disrespect God or try to humiliate God's people? How does that make you feel? Does that hurt you, or are you disconnected from that? Think about all those things. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for inviting me here to Swiss Church. Thank you so much for hearing me after so many months. I really thank you for the welcome. Thank you so much for everything. Love from the Four Rivers. I hope this message has been able to help you in some way. Thank you very much for your attention. Amen.